I'm like Steve. I think we all hesitate to get up on Sunday morning because we know this is a time this is being taped and the word's going out. And I actually prayed about this. You know, I have a testimony I wanted to share, and normally this would be done on a Wednesday night, or even more preferably for me, on a Friday night, because I'm not a big crowd person either. But it just seemed like the Lord wanted me to give this. What a wonderful worship service we had. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure that all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plans. Y'all can say amen to that, can't you? Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, hoping I don't jump all over the place, but y'all know I was in a wreck probably the last of May, and I was in my vehicle chasing a bee. I'd taken my seatbelt off, and I was going about 60, so I know this sounds crazy, but welcome to my world. And I ended up on the floorboard, and then ended up going off the road going about 60. And when I looked up, I knew I needed to get back down on the floorboard. And there was probably five or six big pine trees, a telephone pole. And anyway, after I went off the road, somehow the vehicle went off going 60 and took an abrupt right, turned on its own, and even the policeman said, "How did you miss all those trees?" All of my days are held in his hands, crafted into his perfect plan. I even had some testimonies after that, some people I was talking to, and the one thing they said to me was, "It wasn't your time. It wasn't your time." And I believe that. I believe that. I got up this a couple of days ago. I wanted to read this because this goes into something I just want to talk about a little bit. The Lord, Psalms 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Nobody has to answer me, but how many times have y'all been going forth in your journey, and in the back of your mind there's a song going that meets your circumstance perfectly, and all of a sudden you just actually wake up and begin to say, "Hey, that's the Lord talking to me." Isn't that wonderful? That's the kind of Savior we have that wants to walk with us and talk with us. Well, he quickened the song to me, I think it was Friday morning, because I was praying about, "Lord, I want to be able to get up and just share this for your glory." Before I tell you the name of the song, I looked it up because I wanted to get the words to it. But it gave the background in the song, and it was about how the song came about. It was from the early 1900s. There was a couple named the Doolittles, and she had been bedridden for 20 years, and her husband was an incurable cripple who had propel himself to and from his business in a wheelchair. And these are Christians, and it was noticed by many, they had a joy about them. They had a victory. So despite their afflictions, they lived happy Christians' life, bringing inspiration and comfort to all. One day, there's this couple named the Martins wanted to go visit them. And he asked them, he said, the husband commented on their bright hopefulness and asked them the secret of it. And Miss Doolittle reply was simple: "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." That's awesome. And, I mean, that comes from a scripture. And that's what I find with so many songs God quickens us. We can go to the Word backs it up. But I can say that with the wreck, with everything we go through in life. His eye is on the sparrow, and he's watching over us. Our days are crafted in his hands. I'm not going to read the whole hymn, but the last verse, and just think about this, wherever you're at in your journey with the acceleration of evil, but also the opportunity we have as Christians. "Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies." Does anybody ever have that happen at all? Would anybody ever admit it, that during the Christian journey, sometimes things go sideways? Donald mentioned people getting older. Do you ever, those aches and pains sort of get the best of you? And I know I've said this before, does all the news and the stuff happening in the world sort of cause you to get in that low ebb? Does anybody get there, or is it just me? Here's the secret: I draw the closer to him. Boy, the songs this morning were awesome. Just, God says he shall make his house a house of prayer. But you think about Jesus, be the center, be our source, our guide. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eyes on the sparrow, I know he watches me. I believe that in the day we live in, and where we're at in our journey, older, younger, facing difficulties, challenges, sometimes we find ourselves sideways or right in a valley or a difficult time. Sometimes we can't even hear God's voice. Have I filled all the blanks in? There's probably some more. But there's a God who wants to be personal with us in the midst of all this. He wants us to thrive. Y'all believe that? I'm not saying there won't be tears, there won't be challenges or difficulties. I'm still in the middle of my back healing. They said it would take 12 weeks, and I'm on the countdown. I'm telling you, I'm marking it off that calendar. But thank God. Thank God. He wants us to thrive, and I know there's a secret to that. And I shared this when I shared my testimony. I sure shared this in the deacons and elders meeting a few weeks ago. And I want to be careful how I say this, because I don't want nobody to get the wrong idea. You know, thank God for the church. Aren't y'all glad we can meet together? And thank God for books, devotionals, Zoom. There's so many avenues. There's callings in our life. Thank God he wants to use us. But none of this is meant to replace our personal walk with Jesus Christ. If I'm just coming to church and involved in my duties as a bookkeeper or coming to the prayer meeting, even a lot of spiritual things, reading books, and I'm not really connected to Christ or plugged in him any day, do you think I'm going to grow one bit? That's impossible. It's impossible. We have to be connected. And I'll tell you this, the analogy the Lord showed me is about the vine and the branches. Did you know when the branch is connected to the vine, you know what happens? Fruit, love, joy, peace. I'm not going to ask anybody to get personal here or honest, but at times do you find you don't have the peace and joy you'd like to have? Now, I'm not saying we're going to be bubbling everywhere we go. God knows we're on a journey. But even David said, yea, thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I believe this, being able to thrive has everything to do with being connected to Jesus Christ every day. Jesus be the center. Be my source, my guide. Church does not replace it. Thank God I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Thank God for books and things, but I don't want to become so lost in everything else that I lose my purpose in being connected to my Savior. Do y'all? I thought of the scripture, one of my favorites, Mary and Martha. Y'all know the story. Jesus was there at the house. Martha was busy with a lot of stuff. And believe me, in the hour we live in, it's so easy to get busy. I mean, even with spiritual responsibilities. I thought of this, you know, we get a lot of, they're in the email chain and everything. You get a lot of books emailed to you, read this and videos. I tell you what, if I started doing all that, I'd have to quit my job. I'm not able to do it all. But one thing I do want to do is do what Mary found in this story here. Martha was busy with a lot of things, and Lord knows we need to be responsible. But I would suggest this. Let's ask God to help us with our time management. Martha was busy. In fact, she almost rebuked the Lord, said, Lord, don't you care, look at her, that she's not helping me. Tell her to help me right now. And the Lord, being so gracious, he said, you are so worried, Martha, with many things. But listen to this. Only one thing is needed. And Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken from her. How would you like to have your name, the Lord, to say that about you? I would. Danny, only one thing is needed. Buddy, Peggy, Dina, whoever, only one thing is needed. And you've discovered it, and it won't be taken from you. I want to thrive. I know we're living in a dark time. I tell you, from the wreck, one thing I learned during that, I think I was at home 5 weeks or more and bedridden a good part of the time, just having a scenic video on. But I was able just to lift my heart to the Lord. But at the same time, I want to suggest something. You know, we know a lot of things to pray for, but you know, at times I believe God wants us to slow down in our prayers and maybe not go over a lot of what we feel is needful. God knows I'm praying for our brethren overseas, things we hear about this morning, but there's times to draw back in a prayer of just listening, maybe even what Job did, voicing our complaint with a reverence to God. Do you know he doesn't mind that at all? If there's things we don't understand, if we can't, we can go to our Lord and talk to him about it. Do you know he will answer us? We sang songs about that this morning. The hour we're living in, I'm saying this to me, we can never exhaust our Heavenly Father and who he is and his resources. He has the windows of heaven he wants to open to you and I. I'm not saying storms aren't going to come, difficulties are challenged, but just like this couple here, the woman was bedridden, her husband goes to work in a wheelchair, and don't compare yourself to others. I know there's somebody having, I don't think the Lord would have us to say, well, people overseas are going through this. I ought to feel bad about where I'm at. Do you think the Lord wants to say that to you? I think he wants to hold you and be the center, the source, the guide. And there is a great secret. And when we're connected to God, he can quicken his word to us and make it real. Quicken a song to us. And he can be that fountain of living waters to us. And our name will be written there about we have discovered something and it won't be taken from us. I know this is nothing new, but one thing I learned during that time, I tried to not be so busy. And I'm not saying it's not about arriving, it's about getting to know him better. That's why he died on the cross for us, because when we are separated from him, he wanted to bring us back to his heart. Not just for spiritual activities, but to walk with us and talk with us every day. And that's where church is not supposed to be a fill-up station. Church should be a place where we can gather together, yes, worship God, pray, hear truth. Faith comes by hearing. But my God wants us to come to him through the week and find he wants to be our joy. Do you know the same kind of atmosphere that was in worship here this morning? Is there any reason that shouldn't happen with us through the week if we're in our vehicle or at home and we begin just to worship? It doesn't have to be loud or soft, just from the heart. Just from the heart. And just taking time to stand back in prayer. And if we get too busy and go sideways, God's able to rescue us. Read about the heroes of faith. They never reached a place where they didn't fail. That's why I'm so thankful when the scripture talks about men of like passion. It mentions Elijah, Moses who struck the rock. Elijah was in a cave, but God still dealt with them and brought them out and spoke to them. I'm thankful that when we do fail, I mentioned this to JP. You know, that scripture says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have y'all ever felt like you've almost worn that scripture out? Did you know you can't do that? Did you know? Just come from your heart. And God will honor that and cleanse us. So I've probably been all over the place. I hope it didn't take too much time. But I know this. I remember 2 years ago. Y'all remember when we watched that video, When God's People Pray. Y'all remember that? One thing that always stood out to me, and a little bit of a mystery, but I'm beginning to understand it more and more through the Christian journey, that toward the end of that video, it was noted that as we as leaders, as laymen, fail to lead God's people to prayer, we have failed. That's something to contemplate, because what this is talking about is a connection and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Where you're abiding in the vine, there's a flowing taking forth, the things of this life don't, your eyes singled on the Lord, everything works when this works. So I just want to encourage you this morning, and I want to give God the glory. Where I had that wreck is about a mile from my house, so I get to go by that place every single day, and it's a monument to me. Look at the faithfulness of God.
Well, praise the Lord. I thought I was going to get to sit and just listen today. But anyway, the Lord is so faithful. Thank God for the testimonies that I believe he's bringing forth out of this. I absolutely agree with what's been said, that God is using the things that are happening. I mean, we know as a matter of principle that he does, but there's something about the Christian faith that is very real and very simple, is that we have to experience it. You can't just come and have a seminar and you get the Christian life and truth and all of that and you got it. This is something that has to be experienced and lived. And it's wonderful to hear about stories from the past of how God has been faithful here and faithful there. But until we experience that, it's not really, really real. It's a kind of a secondhand thing. And I don't know, I've had some thoughts, and I'll just trust the Lord to lead and to keep me from wandering all over the place here. But I had a simple thought, and it's kind of an odd place to start in a way. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah was a young man who seemed like an unlikely candidate to be a prophet, especially in one of the worst periods of Jerusalem's history. He had to live through the fall of Jerusalem, basically. He watched the Babylonians come in multiple waves over years. He warned the people, and he preached, and he gave it his all, and they completely ignored him, and they paid the price. I mean, talk about a tough time to be a prophet. And while he was still a young man, you know, talking to the Lord and complaining sometimes, that's exactly what Jeremiah did in the beginning of chapter 12. And he's looking around at this society and what's going on and where he's at and where the wicked are at. And he says, "You are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you, yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep." And so on. Now he's saying, "Go get them, Lord." ever feel like that sometimes? You know, we have all kinds of human reactions to our circumstances and to the way things are going. But listen to God's answer to this. It's not exactly what we would expect. He didn't sit there and smooth his feathers and say, "It's got to be all right." He says, verse 5, if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? Thanks, Lord. That's real encouraging. If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? And then he goes on to talk about what he's going to be experiencing. And so basically what the Lord's telling this young man who's trying to find some answers to what's going on in the world around him, the Lord's saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get a whole lot worse, and if you're complaining about this, you got something coming." And you know, we are so natured that there isn't anybody here who isn't afraid of a lot more than we would like to admit. And we live in a world of uncertainty. I mean, the reality is we don't even know how long the American Republic is going to be here the way we have known it. That's just the reality of it. And we know what the Word says about the end of the age and how things are going to get tough. We've said this recently, but we've had an unprecedented run of prosperity in this country, and most of us have lived our entire lives in it. To us, it's normal. And I believe the Lord is exactly what's been said today. He's shaking up our normal. And I believe God wants us to be ready for that. And you know, there's a principle. I guess this is as good a place to go as any. I didn't really line this out exactly and organize it, which is probably, like I say, a good thing. But Philippians chapter 4, there's a scripture that we often quote. And it's one of those things that we affirm to be true, but I honestly wonder how much of it is really true for us in a very real practical sense. Paul is talking about in the context that the Philippian people, Philippian church, had sent him a gift. And he was in a difficult place. He was imprisoned in Rome, writing all these letters to the churches. And so they took the opportunity finally to take up an offering and send it so he could have some practical help. And he was thanking them. Okay, so that's the context. And he says, thank you for doing it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, verse 11, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You know, we sing songs based on that. We all love to quote it, and it's a good thing to quote. It's a good thing to affirm. But I will guarantee, if we are honest and looking around, there are many things that we could imagine ourselves possibly facing that we don't feel ready for. Me? I can't do that. I could never be that. I could never do that. Persecution is going to come. Oh, God, I couldn't handle that. Well, I couldn't either. Not the way things are. I mean, not in my own strength. Folks, God has called us to something that is supernatural. It does not depend on human strength. It does not depend on any resource that we were born into this world with. And so that's something that I see the Lord wanting to teach us. And even in His answer to Jeremiah, do you see past just the almost passing off what Jeremiah had complained about and asked about, do you see the Lord trying to get his attention and say, wait a minute, Jeremiah, you're so focused on your little world and how you see things. My God, do you have any idea what's coming? I have called you in a unique time in history, and you're going to see stuff that will make this look like a picnic. And you're going to need me. You're going to need to learn exactly what Joel and others were talking about. We're going to have a relationship with God. We're going to have a walk with Him. We're going to have an experience with Him where He puts us in the deep end of the pool in various areas of our lives, and we're going to have to say, oh, God, and guess what? Do you think He's going to fail His children? Or do you think He's going to come, and do you think this verse is going to become real? Paul was able to say this. Why? Because he'd been there. He says he learned. Now, where did he learn this? Did he go to school? No, this is something he learned in the school of hard knocks, in the school of life. Every single Christian, every single follower of Jesus, you are in school today, and so am I. And God wants us to wake up and realize, God, there's a journey ahead. We're living in a world for a reason. It's so easy to somehow settle into a routine in our lives where we know what to do. We feel capable of doing the things that we are called upon to do. And we acknowledge the Lord. We pray. We come to church, as we say it. We come to church instead of being the church. We come to the church gatherings, we read our Bibles, we sing the songs, we affirm the things we're supposed to affirm, but God, don't mess with my little comfortable nest. Because even though I sing, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, or through Christ who strengthens me, either way, it's the same thing. I can do all those things, but not that, or not this, or not the other thing. And as soon as God begins to stir up our nest, all of a sudden, I can't do that. I can't be that. I tell you, you don't have to go far in the Scriptures to see that. I just thought of a few obvious examples. It doesn't necessarily have to take a lot of time. But Jeremiah himself is a pretty good example of this, because he was just a teenager. How would one of you guys like for the Lord to suddenly show up and reveal Himself in a supernatural way to you and say, I have called you. I knew you were when you were in the womb. I have called you and anointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Huh? Say what? Who, me? God, you got the wrong guy. I'm just a kid. I'm just a youth. I can't do any of that kind of stuff. And the Lord just blows right past that objection and says, I'm going to put you in a position to build up kingdoms and to tear down others. Yeah, me and what army? I'll tell you, if we got the Lord, if He has called us to do something, and it's Him doing it, and we're moving as an expression of Him, there is more power in the Word of God than all the armies of the world put together. We serve a God who created everything by just speaking. That's what we need, is His words in our mouth. God, deliver us from ever getting to where we are just regurgitating our traditions. We need to hear from God. I need Him this morning. I feel my need. Oh, God, I'm convicted listening to Brother Joel. I mean, this is real. We need the Lord, and the message that He gave to Jeremiah in chapter 12 is one that we need to listen to. We have an opportunity right now to face the future, but to know what to do when it comes. Because there are things that are going to upset our world and change our world in ways that we can't even imagine now. And if God were to suddenly say, let me unfold everything that's going to ever happen in your life, oh Lord. Or we at least say, Lord, take me home. I don't want to, I can't do that. I'm so weak, I can't do that. Well, the truth is, you can't, and neither can I. And yet somehow this young man was able to trust God. God even told him, don't you back down. When I give you a word, you look people in the eye and you tell them, because I'm going to back up my word. But you know, when God reveals Himself, or when God puts us in a situation, we need to react. God wants us to react with a faith, and that's a choice. That's a choice to say, I cannot handle this. I am totally unable to do what you said to do, or to cope with the situation in which you have put me. I can't handle this, Lord. But by faith, I'm going to trust in your promise when you said I can. If you want a title, that's probably as good a one as any. If the Lord blesses this, I can. God wants you and me to face the future instead of fear and uncertainty and, oh my God, what's going to happen? He wants us to face the future with a spirit that says, I can. Because I have a God who watches over me, who has planned everything from the foundation of the world. If He lets the devil do something, it's part of His plan. You want to read some stuff, you read Isaiah. Lord, that's where I'm at in my Bible reading right now. It's amazing the declarations of God and His power and His plans. He said, all these things that are happening, I planned them a long time ago. I told you, which of your idols can do that? I'm God. I'm above all. If that nation over there is allowed to thrive and to rise up and to do all these amazing things, these powerful things, and overcome others, I planned that. I tell you, we got a God who knows how to work His will in this current world. It's not about this world and what happens here. We want to find a nice, comfortable place where we feel in control, and we try to derive our happiness and our sense of peace from that. And God wants us to have our sense of peace be in Him alone. Amen. He is the only source that we can to whom we can look. Amen. Praise God. But I'll tell you, God is going to put people, every one of us, in places where we're going to, if we were to look at it naturally and think about our own resources, we would just throw up our hands and say, oh God, ain't no way. You know, just quickly to recount some of the things. We don't have to look up the scriptures particularly, but you remember Moses. Of course, Moses had the opposite problem, didn't he? He was a guy who operated out of the throne, the royal family of Egypt. A man mighty in word and deed, the scriptures tell us. I mean, this was a guy that everybody looked to and knew was capable of doing great things. And God had a plan to use that man, and He said, he ain't ready. Do you know God, when He wants to do something, He doesn't look for the strong, the capable, the wise, the smart, and say, now there's somebody I can use. They can help me out with all their natural ability. It doesn't work that way. Everything that originates in Adam, in us, if we rely upon that, it will get in God's way. God chooses the foolish and the weak and those who are nothing in the eyes of the world. Praise God. So if you're feeling small and weak and afraid today, God wants you to rise up and say, wait a minute, I am a child of God. He is on the throne. He will never put me in a situation for which I am unable, because it's not my ability that's going to carry me through. It's what He puts in. It's what He works in me. So God had to do something, and He got Moses in a position where all he could do was run away to Midian, way off in the desert. And he married a girl there and settled down to raise sheep, and 40 years went by. And as far as Moses was concerned, this was his life. He was just going to live it out. Everything was fine. Every day was the same, but it was comfortable. He didn't have any real major problems until he saw a bush that was on fire and yet didn't burn up. And you remember the story of how he went over to see that, and all of a sudden God speaks to him out of that burning bush. Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And the Lord begins to reveal what his plan is for Moses. And Moses says, yeah, I'm your guy. No, he didn't do that, did he? He argued with the Lord over and over again. And he got to the point where the Lord answered every one of his questions. They won't believe me. Here's some miracles you can perform. Over and over again, he objects and he resists the Lord. Basically, why is he doing that? Well, there's two things. He didn't feel like he had the capability to do it, and he didn't really want to. He was comfortable. You know, we got both problems, don't we? But anyway, the Lord finally, I mean, he got to where the Lord had answered every one of his objections, and he just said, send somebody else, Lord. The Lord allowed his brother Aaron to go with him in the process, but he still had to go, didn't he? And what happened was the mightiest prophet of the Old Testament, known to people as the meekest of men, but there he was doing all those amazing things. Why? Because God was a mighty God, was able to work through a willing vessel. And all the mighty things he did. Now, was he perfect? No. You know, we had the reference this morning to him smiting the rock, and you see his humanity come out. But I'll tell you, there's a lesson. That should be a lesson to us, that God can take somebody ordinary. Gideon is an obvious example. It's interesting, Moses ran away to the Midianites, and that's where he was living. The Midianites were the enemy when Gideon came along. They were oppressing the people, and an angel shows up and says, hail thou mighty man of valor, or something like that. Who are you talking to? This guy that had no idea of doing anything except surviving one day after another. Keep your head down. Just do your stuff. Don't worry. Don't rock the boat. Anybody here kind of natured that way? I think we all are in some fashion. I don't think we got too many crusaders here going out to fix the world. You ain't going to fix it anyway, I guarantee you. But the reality is, a lot of people just want to be comfortable. And that's all he did. But the Lord got his attention, and he even allowed him to put the Lord to the test and say, here's some, you know, if this is really you, you know, the test with the fleece. And we know how all that turned out. God brought a mighty victory through Gideon. And, you know, others in Scripture, I can't even remember who else I was going to say, but that's all right. It doesn't really matter. The principle is there. One other example, though, of how the Lord has to work in us is the one we have used so many times, and that's Peter. And Peter's another one. Like Moses, God had the opposite problem. All you had to do was tell Peter to do something. Yes, Lord, I can do that. And God had to bring him to a place where he felt an utter failure. To the point where I guarantee you he thought that there was no hope for him. But the Lord's word to him was this, and we've heard this so many times. When you were young, you girded yourself, you dressed yourself, and you went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch forth your hand, somebody else will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go. I tell you, we're going to have to be a people who are willing and looking and expecting that we're going to be put in all kinds of situations where we're going to need the Lord. We're going to need to have a willing heart that never just sits back and says, I can't. I mean, sometimes it's an emotional issue. Sometimes it's a physical issue. It's fear. We're so much a product of what we've been through in our lives. You know, you grew up and there was a bully and you were always the one that was being beat on, and you were the one made to feel worthless, and somehow it helps to form your vision of yourself. And you just want to sit there and get through life. I'll tell you, the way the world is going, there's people right here. God's going to call you. And he's going to put his Spirit upon you in some fashion for something. And your initial reaction is going to be, who, me? I can't do that. But I tell you, if God has called you, God could take somebody here. I don't know this is going to happen. God could take somebody here and put you on a world stage with a word of authority. And it won't be because of who you are and what you are. It'll be because it's the purpose and the heart of God. I'll tell you, Christ's church in this hour, we're going to be called upon to be something we have never imagined in situations. We've mentioned this so many times. We have brothers and sisters, and this was mentioned this morning, that had to serve God in situations they would never have asked for. They live in prison. They suffer. They suffer the deprivations that Paul talked about. You know, when Paul talked about this particular issue, you know, whether I have a lot or whether I don't have a lot, that's the smallest of issues. When the Lord called him, and when he talked to, was it Ananias? I can't even remember now. My old brain here isn't working. But the guy that went and talked to him and baptized him, the Lord revealed to him that this guy is my chosen vessel, and I'm going to show him how many things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. How's that for an introduction to the Christian life? That's how it was for Paul. So when Paul talked about, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, he had some real experience of things that you and I have never experienced. Stoned, left for dead, in danger, in prison, beaten. We sang about it this morning. Had to go against feelings. Had to say, Lord, you have called me to this, and if you have put me in a situation, number one, you're the author. You're the one who's with me in it. But it's not my strength that is going to carry me through. It is your strength. There's a long list of things. If we were to sit down and just consider what we might have to face in the future, I'll guarantee you we could list a lot of things and say, I'm not ready for that. I couldn't do that. And if it came to ministry, if God put a burden that's genuinely from him upon somebody's heart to reach out to somebody in this hour, I don't know what he has. I appreciate the burden that the Lord gave Caitlin. I believe others. God wants us to respond and to do it prayerfully and not pridefully seeking a place, but to say, Lord, I'm a servant. Make me a servant. We sang that this morning. Lord, make me a servant. I just want to do your will. I don't care about the adulation of the crowd. I don't care about making a name for myself. Lord, you put me here to serve you. And if you've called me to do something, it will be done with your ability, not with anything that's in me. You don't call me because I'm qualified. You qualify the called. Amen. Praise God. So God brought Peter down to that place and said what he did. And Peter became a mighty apostle, not because he had the strength and the zeal. He put all that aside and said, oh God, it's in you. God made him a mighty servant. God can do that with every... I don't care what your place is. You may be somebody that nobody ever hears about. But God's going to put you in a place where if you thought about it right now, you'd say, I can never do that. No way could I ever do that. But when the time comes, you will. And of course, so many examples out there, but the one we have used so many times is relatively modern. That's Corrie ten Boom. I mean, those of you who know her story. A middle-aged lady, she was 50-something, I think, who was just living a quiet life as a watchmaker in her father's watch shop. And she did have a little ministry to some people on the side. But it wasn't, I mean, and she didn't even have a real strong faith. Her sister was the one who was the mature person. She was full of questions and all kinds of objections and fussing and fighting and struggling with her circumstances. But all of a sudden, the Nazis began to come in. And you remember the story of how they began to round up the Jews. And God put it on her heart and the hearts of some others to form an underground to do something about it. And they took their lives in their hands to hide Jews and to protect them and to do all those things that she was unable to do. And somehow, if you had told her even that much before any of this happened, what do you think her reaction would have been? No way. I'm just a watchmaker, Lord. Who am I? I'm nobody. And then they caught her and they were arrested. And she's thrown in a dark prison cell by herself. I don't remember the time frame. It seemed like it was weeks, certainly, if not months. Just living on next to nothing, struggling, lonely, pain, rats for company. I don't remember all the details, but it wasn't pleasant. Having to live with uncertainty, cruelty, every sort of discouragement was brought her way. In the process, she and her sister survived that, but her dad did not. So now he's gone. He's dead. And they're rounded up, and they're taking them off to a horrible place. And you remember some of the miracles the Lord did to actually make her sick at one point and use that to help her get a Bible smuggled in there. I mean, God can do all kinds of amazing things if we'll just pay attention and say, Lord, I'm yours. Just do whatever you're going to do. Do it your way. And I am trusting you in this circumstance to give me the strength, because I don't have it. It's not in me. And this lady was, you know, in writing about it, was honest about her own feelings and the things she struggled against, the anger at the people that were doing these terrible things. Now, then she winds up in a place she describes all her life as hell. I mean, it was a women's prison. They were forced into hard labor. People who were older, had no strength. They mistreated them horribly. And she's in a bunkhouse, and the bunkhouse is full of fleas. And her sister says, you know, the Lord says we're supposed to thank him in all things. Let's thank God for the fleas. And she's, you've got to be kidding me. Well, that would have been every one of our reactions. We're not the spiritual one like her sister. Every one of us would have been saying, wait a minute, what's going on here? Is God really in charge? We're in way over our heads here. Until later on, they discover that because of the fleas, the Germans wouldn't come in there. So they had perfect freedom inside that barracks to hold meetings and prayer meetings and to reach people and to minister Christ to people that never would have heard under any other circumstances. I mean, isn't that what we're seeing unfold in our world? We're going to see it unfold more. God's got a people he is still going to reach in the midst of this. Yes, the world is headed for catastrophe, but God has a people and he has a kingdom he's building too. And his kingdom will not fail. I just want to be a part of that. I want to sit there and say, I can't. Just leave me alone, Lord. I want to be comfortable. God is going to call people to a life that is beyond all of that. So say, look at people around the world and what they're going through. But anyway, time goes on. She's struggling, and she watches her sister get sick and die. Now she's alone. And her sister had actually had a vision of what was going to happen after the war. She saw a place, a home. And she said, we're both going to be free before Christmas or something around Christmas anyway. Well, her sister that had that vision died, so she was free. And then through a clerical error, Corrie ten Boom is released. I tell you, we got a God who can do all kinds of stuff. You think the devil would like to have kept her? Well, the Lord just sort of mixed up their paperwork. And all of a sudden, she's out, doesn't hardly know how to behave herself. It's been such a horrific experience. And God brings her through it, and in all of these things, she begins to learn about God in ways that you don't learn just sitting in a pew in church. Her message, she began to minister to people, and her message was, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. And this powerful message of God's faithfulness, but the fact that he gave her the ability to put up with that and to deal with it and to come through that and to trust him, even when times she was fussing about it. She didn't like it. She was complaining like Jeremiah. But God's mercy continued to reach out to her. He knew that underneath all that, there was a heart that says, yes, Lord, I want you. Aren't you glad God is patient and merciful with his children? Every one of us here has had those kind of complaints. Just be honest. I certainly have. But we've got a God who is so merciful to his children. Don't you love him this morning? Praise God. But how many times have we mentioned this one other incident? Here she is experiencing the triumph of God bringing her through something that was unthinkable. If you had told her ahead of time what she was going through, she would have thrown up her hands. In fact, how many of you remember the other incident that we talked about, that we mentioned in the past, where before all this really got that bad, and it was evident things were going to get tough, she was talking to her father, Lord, I'm not ready. I can't do that. I don't have what it takes to live under those conditions and to be able to experience persecution. And her father reminded her of something they did from time to time. You know, they didn't have the internet where they could synchronize watches and, you know, do all the kind of stuff you can do today. So in order to synchronize all of the clocks and to correct them in the shop, periodically they would ride to whatever the national standard clock was. They would take a train trip and absolutely synchronize their watches with that and then take that back, and that was the reason for the trip. But the point her father made was, when do I give you the ticket? This was when she was young. I think this happened when she was young. When do I give you the ticket for that? He said, well, when we're about to get on the train. And he says, that's how it is with the Lord. We don't have to sit here this morning and just feel like I can do anything. Bring it on, Lord. Prison, torture, you name it. I can speak like a prophet. I can do whatever. No, you can't. Neither can I. But if the Lord brings the train and we're supposed to be on it, he has the ticket. We get it when we need it. He is faithful who promised. And I'll tell you, God's going to bring us through. But the other thing that I've mentioned so many times before brings up another issue, and that's trauma and feelings and those kinds of things where we just can't because of that. She was having this glorious ministry of going around telling people what God had done for them in that prison house, and oh, don't be afraid of anything. God will be with you. He is in the deepest pit. His love is deeper still. Wonderful ministry. And then she comes to the end of a meeting, and a man walks up. And she recognizes the man as one of the cruelest guards that had been in that prison. Had beaten her sister, had just had a merciless spirit toward those women. Treated them like garbage. Had no conscience to abuse them, kill them, whatever. And he's walking up. And he says, God's touched my heart. He's changed my life. But I want, and I know the terrible things that I did, but I want you to forgive me. And all of the things that she had been able to do, and now she's standing there saying, oh God, I can't. I can't. Ever been in that situation? It's not a matter of, I can't be a prophet, or I can't do this, or I can't, you know, or I can't put up with this kind of situation. But now we've got something that is a trauma from the past, and I just can't forgive him. Well, the reality is she probably couldn't. Every one of us has circumstances like that where our emotions run so deep that that's the bondage that holds us captive, and we just can't break it. But you remember what she did. Somehow the Lord dropped a simple thought in her mind about what she could do just as a simple act of faith. Well, I can reach out my hand. She's not saying, I can forgive him. She's saying, I can reach out my hand. And as she did, God's love flowed into her heart. And there was a complete reconciliation. That's the kind of a God that we serve, folks. I'll come back to what the Lord told Jeremiah. Basically, like we've said before, you ain't seen nothing yet. But God wants every one of us to face what we have right now, to face the future, not with fear, but with an expectation that God has a reason, he has a purpose why you and I are here. It may be some great thing in the eyes of the world. It may be just to be a quiet voice. Perfect example, that couple that was experiencing all that limitation. And yet they trusted God, and God gave them the strength not to sit there and feel sorry for themselves and waste their lives, but to have a testimony. You might be in a prison cell with somebody someday, and instead of laying there feeling sorry for yourself and angry at God and angry at the people who did this to you, God can give you the grace to say, Lord, you have put me in this place, and I'm going to praise you. That's what Paul did. Paul and Silas, we sing about it. But how many of us would so readily do that? We need the Lord, don't we? But one reason for talking about this on an occasion like this is God wants to get us ready. And a lot of that readiness is mental. If we suddenly get thrown in the deep end of the pool and we're totally unprepared for it, that's a challenge. But God is so faithful to talk to us and to say, I have not put you in a world that loves you. You're going to be hated by everybody before it's over. A lot of people hate you right now. There are people trying to totally upend our society and take it over, and they hate you and they hate me. They hate everything we stand for. We're going to have choices ahead of us. We're going to need the Lord. But what God is looking for us to do right now is to say, God, prepare us, help us to have a relationship with you, and help us to make up our mind now that when the time comes, we're going to lift up our hearts and look to you and believe that you're going to give us the strength to do whatever you call us to do. Amen. Whether it's a ministry, whether it is just enduring to the end, he said those who endure to the end will be saved. God's strength is what makes that possible. Do we really believe that in all things, not only does he work for the good of those who love him, but in all things that his strength will carry us through? Well, God is putting you and me through things right now that's beginning to teach us that principle. Because we rely on our own strength a lot more than we believe, than we think. We believe more in our limitations than we would like to admit. Aren't you glad that God sees past all of that and he knows everything about us and loves us anyway? And he's so patient and so kind and so merciful. But he knows how to bring us through, how to nurture us, and how to teach us his ways. I pray for the next generation. I pray for this generation. I pray for whatever God may call us to endure. However he would call us to stand for him in a dark hour, that he will impart to us the same faith we read about in the scriptures. These passages that we read, these accounts of lives, we're going to be living many of them before it's over. But the same God that brought them through will bring us through. And we will stand together with him one day and cast our crowns at the feet of the only one who's worthy, whose name is Jesus. To him be glory and praise. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God wants to make that truth real in our lives, and he will. I just want to be one that listens and cooperates with him. Praise God.